Penny Haynes knows a thing or two about swimming breaststroke events at an Olympics in Atlanta. She won the 100-meter breaststroke with a world record, and she won the 200-meter breaststroke with an Olympic record. Still the only woman in Olympic history to have won gold in the 100 and the 200. And I believe that she is on the line to us now. Hello, Penny.
Hello, and hello to the listeners.
How much pressure is on Tatiana for tomorrow morning? Because, I mean, in a sense now, she's kind of like our best hope for a gold.
Yeah, she's our only hope for a gold. look, I think Tatiana, when I spoke to her after the semifinal this morning, she seemed her usual relaxed and humble self. And she was ready to get into a very cold ice bath. And she was taking her time about it. I said to her, are you never going to get in? And she said that she hates doing it. But I think, you know, all of the science around it to recover, they know how to do that now. And I think Tatiana knows if she just goes out there and she focuses on swimming her own race, which is what she said to me, that's what she always does. I think she has absolutely the right attitude. You know, the best we can do is focus on the details, control the controllables. She can't afford to now think about what anyone else is saying or thinking. She has to pretend she's out there on her own. And I think she'll dominate the race from the start, which is, you know, she has such a strong back end that even if she is in front at the halfway, no one's going to catch her. And I don't think anyone's going to catch her anyway. She's so far ahead of them. I think hopefully she's having a good night's sleep.
Yeah, I mean, watching the semi-final this morning, she was in front right from the beginning. But in that final 50 metres, the way she powered ahead, and the commentators talked about her going from a 200-metre stroke style to a 100-metre stroke style. And really, I mean, it was the rest of the field fighting for second and third, and that was it.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see something similar tomorrow. You know, I think Tatiana does what she did the last two swims, meaning the heats in the semifinal. I don't see anyone going there. I think we might see a sub-19, so in other words, a world record. I think I agree with the commentators that Tatiana took a very short stroke into the wall where she could have rather reached in. And it's easy to say now it would have been a world record. I agree. I think it would have, but we will never know, right? But I think she can go into it knowing that she actually, with that mistake, she still is so far ahead of everyone else. So if she puts it together really well tomorrow, and as I said, control the controllables, then I think we're in for a real exciting event. And of course, you know, Kayleen Corbett, I mean, we're now used to Tatiana. We saw the silver, we saw the Olympic records. We know that she's on form. And then comes Kayleen Corbett, and in the heats yesterday, I thought, ooh, Kayleen's going out so fast, and then she dropped back, and I thought, well, that's it now. I hope she swims close to her best. The next minute, she did the same as Tatiana. She turned on the engines, and her stroke kind of changed into a faster turnover, and she came back and swam a PB. And then this morning in the semi, she was up against a very strong field. The likes of the people you would think, or actually they thought, they're going to win this 200. And when I say they, I mean the Lily Kings of the world. And then Kayleen goes ahead and actually beats them and ends up swimming a PB again and fourth going into the final. And not to put pressure on anyone, but I think Tatiana is a second, and I'm not sure exactly, but a 2.2 or something like that ahead of second place. And then the Russian girl is about another second and something ahead of number three. And then number three down to number six or seven, they're all very, very, very close. And Kayleen is right in the middle of that. So it's going to be a strong fight for the bronze medal. But I think we might just see history being made.
Well, we have had two female South African swimmers meddling in a race. You and Sarah Purva in
No.
Is my memory bad?
Sarah never.
You were in the final. So, yeah,
we were both in the final. Sarah had a fourth.
I had a third.
So that's why I say this will be historic. There's never been two swimmers medaling at the Olympic Games in swimming in South Africa. So this would really be big if both of them do that. And I don't think in any sport, actually.
Yeah.
And since readmission, I don't. Yeah?
If Tatiana does swim a world record, 2:19, that makes it kind of 5 and a bit seconds faster the new one in an Olympic record in 96, again, if I've got my facts right. What's happened in those 25 years to make the swim that faster? I mean, she's not better than Penny Haynes. It's just that, what, the training methods have changed, preparation methods have changed, swimwear has changed. What creates that 5.5 second difference?
Well, I like to think it's less, because when I finished, it was a 23, not a 25, but still, she crushed it. There's a lot of things that have changed in all of the events, in a general sense. It's not just in breaststroke, but if we start off with breaststroke, when I swam, and by the way, you say she's not better than me. I don't know. If we were pitted against each other, who knows? I think she might kick my butt. Back then, you know, we weren't allowed to, with the underwater, we could only pull down with our arms. Our legs had to be absolutely still. And so the first change is that they've allowed an underwater fly kick. So you can push off, you can do one fly kick, you can pull down with your arms, and then you can go into a full breaststroke stroke. And you're looking on a 200 at three of those fly kicks. Then if you look at the starting blocks, back in my day, we didn't have that kicker at the back. We only just started doing the track start. In fact, I think in Atlanta, I was one of the few doing it. The others were still doing the traditional 2 feet in front on the block. And so that definitely gives us a greater, let's say, transfer of energy and speed into the water. If you look at backstroke, for instance, they have that wedge, which prevents them from slipping. So now you see these amazing backstroke starts. All of these things factor in to you know, end up helping these swimmers to drop time. The swimwear has changed somewhat and definitely makes a difference. And then I think one of the biggest differences is just, you know, 20 years later, the technology in terms of how to measure your improvements in training, the underwater filming, the science around recovery, getting into a ice bath of 8 degrees and sitting there for 10 minutes, that kind of stuff. I never did, thank goodness. And so a lot has changed. And like even now, if I knew then, I feel if I knew then what I know now, just in terms of what I teach young swimmers, if I do stroke correction, I would do it very differently. So the sport has come a long way. And the other thing is, you know, every time someone breaks a barrier, so when Lily King broke the 105 and swam 104, now Tatiana's going 104. It won't be long and everybody's going 104. If Tatiana goes sub 19, within a year or so, I think we'll have one or two others going sub 19. It's just somebody needs to break that barrier and then everybody else follows. And in 2009, they had what we called the super suits. They were impermeable, so you floated on top of the water and everybody broke world records and set crazy times. And then they said, no, these suits are actually artificial assistants. So they changed the suits. And of course, the new generation did not know the difference. So they see these fast world records and they think, oh, that's normal. And then they go swim so fast. Whereas those of us who swam pre the suits realize how much of a difference the suits made. So it all comes back to this mental, you know, awareness of, you know, what is possible. Yeah, I think the greatest example is, I can't remember his name now, but the guy who cleared 2 meters in high jump the first time, you know, or breaking the 4 minute barrier in the, is it the 1500 or something like that? Mm. You know, all of these benchmarks.
And your thoughts on Chad Leclos' disappointing Olympics, making the final of one race and not even making the semifinals in the other of his two?
Yeah, I know how that feels. Been there, done that in 2000. I just didn't tell everyone I'm going to go back in 4 years' time. I don't know. Chad's very brave to say that, but, you know, if he does, good for him. I think he's getting older, and he's not the, what was he, 21-year-old that can just... We saw it with Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps was in Chad's boat in 2012. So it's, you know, the recovery rate, I think, between heats and semis and finals is, you know, you recover much slower. I think in the, if we look back on the 200, so I think Chad is tired right now. And what happened is in the 200 heats, he almost missed the semi. So then when he went into the semi, he swam like a madman, and his first 100 was almost his best 100 time for the season. And that kind of effort must have taken its toll on him. And I think then the following day, you know, he did an okay swim in the final, but not what I think he might have been able to do. I'm not saying he would have had a medal, but I think he could have swum faster had he not pushed himself so hard in the semi. Having said that, now there's a day in between, and now he's got the 100 butterfly, and I just don't think he's recovered enough. I don't know mentally what the effect was of a disappointing swim in the 200. He was visibly disappointed with that as well. I didn't see him tonight after his swim, of course. So, but yeah, the thing for a swimmer, though, and Chad might not realize it yet, is my own personal experience, and Rake shared the same, is that when we end our career off on a note like this, all you as a swimmer remember is this failure, whatever that may be. Like for Lily King, the bronze medal in the 100 would be a failure. The bronze for me in 2000 was, in my mind, somewhat for a long time, a failure. And that's what the swimmer remembers and lives with and has to deal with. And your identity is caught up in swimming, all of that. And Chad's is very much caught up in his swimming. So there's a couple of red flags there, I think, down the line. But the thing to realize is that it's actually the rest of the world. They don't remember your last swim. They remember your highlights.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's something, if I have an opportunity to chat with Chad, that's something I would like to remind him of. But I don't think his career is over. I think the longevity in the sport has definitely continues to kind of, how do I say it? They keep retiring at a later age,
yeah.
And it's because of the money in the sport. And so he's still good enough to be world class right up there with everyone. I think the short course format in a 25-meter pool will suit him better. Chad has phenomenal underwaters, usually. And I must say, I didn't see that kind of a Chad in this meet. So if he gets back to that, I think his short course swimming can be really good. We've got the short course world champs in December. And who knows, maybe we'll see Chad topping it up there and being on the podium. It's just unfortunate it's not coming together right now.
Penny, thank you very, very, very much. At 20 past 10 in Tokyo, I don't know what time you normally go to bed, but I'm very, very glad you made time for us. I found that an absolutely fascinating conversation, listening to the insights of somebody who really knows, Penny Haynes. She knows. Thank you very, very much.